Hey, this is Jay Jackson, lead singer for Apologetics, that Christian parody band, and you're listening to the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
So, Steve, here we are. Once again, we have done many episodes of this show. And what I find interesting about that is the fact that about 98-something percent, we've done it together. There's been
I think that's right.
There's been a couple times we've been apart, right, where I've done it and you've done it separately. And so I just wanted to ask you if you could just share, just be honest for a change on our show. Just be honest.
For a change.
Yeah, just be honest, Steve. Just be transparent. Hey, yeah, guest, it's not your turn yet. So, yeah, for a change, if you could just be honest and just tell me, how do you feel when you have to do a show without Wild Man?
Sad. Lonely. I feel like, you know, Paul McCartney without Ringo. I feel like Sonny without Cher. I really don't like to talk about it, Wild Man.
Yeah. Well, sorry for bringing it up. I knew that was the answer I was going to receive because that's the contrast between you and myself, you know. When I have to do one without you, I'm kind of relieved in some ways.
I'm sure. And I appreciate you sharing that with all of our fans right now. I appreciate you sharing that.
That's a good thing because both of them are listening, you know. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, rake that opening, Wild Man and Steve, hashtag Wild Man and Steve, one being the best and 10 being the best. Hey, Steve.
Yes, well, man?
Did I ever tell you how tremendous you are?
No, I don't think so.
You are tremendous.
Okay.
April Fools!
What? Well, Wild Man, it's not April 1st yet.
What?
No, it's not. But I will tell you what is happening on April 1st. It's the debut of our new live show on Classic Christian Rock Radio. We'll be introducing everyone to new bands with that great classic rock sound, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 1st.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Steve?
Yes, Wild Man.
I really don't think you're tremendous.
Too late now. You said it.
But I... Explode into space like a true nature child. We were born to be wild. And now here is the best part of the show where I turn it over to rock and metal enthusiast, Mr. Steve Perkins, Latin teacher, and Mr. Segway, whom, and I feel great in saying this because I have said this, I believe, since every episode since we have had our guest on last time, that Steve Perkins is quite the incongruity, because our guest actually coined that phrase when he was on last time, and we've used it ever since. Mr. Segway, tell us what it is.
Here's the thing. You say that I'm quite the incongruity. What I really like to think of myself more as a Renaissance man. I like to think of myself as somebody who has many interests, many areas in which I delve, many areas in which I like to explore. And
I want to run something by you, okay? And if you say no to this, that's fine. I'm okay with that, but I just want to run it by you. I'm thinking that we might want to get some corporate sponsorship. And here's where I'm going with this. One of my interests, and this is absolutely true, and you cast aspersions on me earlier, suggesting that I don't tell the truth on this show. I do tell the truth, and I'm absolutely telling the truth right now. I like yo-yos. I enjoy yo-yos. I've given my son some yo-yos, some of mine when I was a boy. I love to play with a yo-yo. And I was just wondering if you would consider, perhaps, that we could get as a sponsorship the most famous maker of yo-yos, really, in the world, which everybody knows is Duncan Yo-Yos. And so I was just wondering if we could maybe be the Wild Man and Steve show sponsored by Duncan. Duncan, or we could even have, you know, it depends on how they would want to work it out corporately, but maybe we could have, you know, the Duncan approved Wild Man and Steve show, something like that. It's something I've just been thinking about, you know.
And you're saying that with yo-yos? Is that what you're saying?
With yo-yos, because, you know, Duncan yo-yos are justifiably famous. I think, you know, Duncan is the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to put it out there. How many people, when you think of Duncan, think of yo-yos? And how many of you, when you think of Duncan Donuts?
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. Dunkin' Donuts, and you may not be much for the spelling of things. Dunkin' Donuts is D-U-N-K-I-N. And it's a play on the fact of dunking donuts, because sometimes people will be dunking their donuts in coffee or some such thing. This is Dunkin', D-U-N-C-A-N. Dunkin',
You're telling me the Dunkin' Donuts didn't even spell theirs right, is what you're saying.
They didn't. No. I'm talking about the real Duncan.
So do you think
proper Duncan?
Does our guest spell his name right?
I don't even know who our guest is tonight. I'm just asking about the possibility of having the Duncan Wild Man and Steve show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Segway strikes again, because tonight we do have, for the second time on the Wild Man and Steve, so Mr. Brian Duncan. Brian, how are you doing? And welcome to the program, sir.
Well, that was a long intro. I'm going, you had me sit still for that long and not say anything. And, you know, that's really a test of my endurance.
Well, We're glad you're still with us, you know. I mean, and you know, the listeners could hear you in the background there. You couldn't wait to say something. You were jumping.
I'll call
right
you
away.
Right back.
Yeah. So we do want to welcome you for the second time. It's been a few years, so we have a lot of things to talk about. In fact, we know that it was actually before COVID when we had you on last. And
yeah, we refer to that as BC now. You know, BC means before COVID.
Yeah, exactly. So yes. Talk to us about what the music industry for you in general and for you personally has been over the last few years.
It's been like being unemployed. There's a few people that got online on Facebook Live and tried to do stuff from their garage. And I'm going, I ain't trying to do that. It's like, it's not working. And, so I kind of took up playing at my local church on their online thing, because nobody was doing anything and I wasn't playing. And since then, I finally decided, you know, if I'm going to sit on my back porch, I ought to figure out something to do with my time. So I invented a show called, it's a podcast called NutshellSermons.com. They're antagonistic devotions. And they're growing in popularity among the disenfranchised.
And I'm a huge fan of those. I've been listening to those, and I've been listening to you on Classic Christian Rock Radio coming on and doing that. And folks, he does a great job of blending humor and the message, as he normally does with his music, but especially with this. So I know you were doing those nutshell sermon things even before the show started, that you would do a hashtag nutshell sermon and you would post something.
Oh yeah. I was on, you know, I've been on Twitter for a lot of years, and you know, it's, I kind of think out loud. You know, I had a therapist tell me I was an external processor, which apparently is a good thing. It was the only good thing that he could say about me. And but, you know, I Twitter all the time because I'm thinking about, you know, what does it sound like? What does it look like? And I did a bunch of different hashtags. There was I follow Jesus because, and it's in the Bible. It was always bugging me when people say the Bible says, because it always just sounded really condescending. So I would do it that way. And then I would do prayers you won't hear in church, and spoke to God. He said, you know, and a lot, and they were all, you know, kind of sarcastic. Well, okay, they were more than kind of. They were sarcastic.
Woo! Hey, babe. I spoke to God and told him, don't think I'm gonna make it. Keep falling down and breaking everything around me grounded. Just when I find what I think is gonna make me happy, start to unwind like another ball of string. So here I am stuffing my pockets full of nothing. Hope you won't leave me grieving, little bit at a time. Think I can take a boozing when there's a point. Little bit at a time.
Little bit at a time.
Oh, just a little bit at a time.
Little bit at a time.
Come on, little bit at a time.
Little bit at a time.
Yeah, little bit at a time.
I want to go back to that line you used, which is to me is an absolutely fabulous line. I could see it on bumper stickers and T-shirts. Antagonistic devotions for the disenfranchised. That right there is just, I mean, if you had merchandise with that on it, I would buy that. So for folks who may not have heard some of your stuff, what does that mean? I want to talk both parts of that. Antagonistic devotions, which that right away would get some people's attention. Wait a minute, antagonistic, why? And then for the disenfranchised. So talk to us about both parts of that.
Well, you know, on the page, it doesn't say those things, but I keep describing it in different ways. It's from, you know, it's a nutshell sermon from your friend on the back row. And, you know, the pastor is the only one that sounds really positive. You know, the rest of us are sitting there going, yeah, but, you know, wait a minute. Well, what about this? And so my idea was to do something like your friend, you know, somebody that you talk to all the time, and you know, you confess your, you know, I'm not really sure if I believe that or not. And so, I mean, antagonism is probably sounds like I'm, you know, anti-Christian or something, but no, it's just going, you know, it's like we're talking about the if word, you know, if my people, you know, would just believe, then they could ask what they will. And I said, man, I hate that one. I said, I knew it was going to be my fault.
Think that's important because, and one of the things that I know your friend and our friend Mark Middleberg talks a lot about is we want people to ask questions. Again, whether it's young people, folks have been in the church for decades, doesn't matter. We want people to ask questions. God wants people to ask questions. He's not afraid. He's a big boy, right? He can handle our doubts and our questionings and confusions, disagreements. So I think that's really important. What kind of feedback are you getting from that?
It's been astronomical. I also play songs on there. Cause you know, I figure, you know, the chances of me doing another record is starting to look really dim. And so I post songs that I haven't recorded, that I've written. I've got a lot of them. And so they're called songs that didn't make the last record. And so I play music. I play prayers you won't hear in church. And the response has been, you know, it's kind of an underground secret society or something. You know, it's not like it's going to make the news anytime soon.
Yeah. And that's all at nutshellsermons.com. Am I correct there?
Yeah, it's real simple. Nutshell Sermons with an S. .com, and you can just scroll down the page. I've got like 19 songs on there and probably 27 prayers you won't hear in church. And I just posted Nutshell Sermon number 48. You know, they're
wow.
Today's is about, you know, how to deal with somebody, how to let somebody be mad at you.
Mm.
So tell us about a statement you just made about another album. Okay, you know, our show, we talk to artists all the time. We talk to new artists. We talk to artists that have been around for a long time. When you say it's doubtful that you're going to be doing another album, tell us about why you think that is or where you're at currently in your music career.
You think about, I mean, all I'm doing is watching the news and the fact that my car doesn't have a CD player in it, and you buy songs individually on iTunes and whatever, and Spotify steals all your stuff. I've got 140 songs on there, and I get a pittance in royalties for that stuff. And, you know, concerts have been just gone for the last 3 years for the most part. I do more funerals than concerts, actually, but I'm still doing concerts, but they're still really slow coming back. And for the last 3 years, we were promoting, you know, a new the next record, a crowdfunding thing. And I had original songs written, and I had Christmas songs written for A Sentimental Christmas. And then I had praise and worship songs. And after about 3 years of promising people that, oh, yeah, we're going to do this record, and it just wasn't, we didn't have enough money to coming in to even make a record. And it's like, at some point, maybe the upper echelon of music artists can go out there and tour, and maybe they've got some kind of sponsorship for that. But, you know, for me, I wasn't seeing any backing for especially for Christian music. And, you know, even churches, the turnover has been incredible. You know, I mean, staff turnover, there's a lot of senior pastors don't know who I am. So, you know, it's one of those things where you start to realize that you're facing a new season of your soul, and, you know, you can pretend. I mean, at some point I didn't want to be who I used to be. And I decided, you know what? I'm not going to keep promising stuff that never happens. You know, if I'm going to lead people, I'm going to encourage you. And the thing about podcasting is I can do that today and post it tomorrow, and somebody can be listening to it in literally a matter of minutes in Starbucks on the other side of the United States. And I'm going, well, this seems to be the new direction. And it's kind of humbling. It feels like you're starting over, but, you know, and I'm not opposed to doing another record, but, you know, I don't see anybody come to the table with that kind of budget. And, you know, the price of eggs now, I'm about ready to start a second job.
Well, you talk about podcasting. I was just looking at some statistics the other day. I also do, as you know, obviously we've talked about this before, I'm a high school Latin teacher, and we do a podcast with my students, and so I was looking at some stats with them. There's something like 5 million podcasts out in the world right now with over 70 million episodes of content. So it is a huge thing. It's a growing thing. And I think in the like 12 to 34 demographic, age 12 to 34, over 50% of that demographic listens to some number of podcasts a month.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely a growing, it's a great venue, I think. And again, like you said, for encouraging people and doing even in addition to the music, like you say,
yeah,
you know, the prayers, the sermons, and kind of getting into all of that. At the same time, though, it tears me up to hear you say what you said. It's nothing new, though, but it just kills me to hear it about what Spotify has done, what the streaming services have done with artists, and how that really has also changed people's listening habits. We talked so many times about listening to a full album, or even if it was back in the day, a cassette. You'd listen to the whole side A, then you'd listen to all of side B, or the vinyl, all the first side, all the second side. And now it's all this cherry picking of individual songs. And
yep,
I don't like it. I still listen to full albums all the way through, you know, even if it's digital format in my car, because that's what I grew up with. And that's what I like. I like the full album concept. So do you think, from your perspective, that this is really going to change the packaging and format of music distribution? Do you think that artists are going to, at some point, God forbid, actually stop doing albums and just releasing individual tracks?
Well, I don't, you know, the thing is, it's not advantageous to release one song for the cost of it. And the way iTunes has set the price, the value of a song is like a dollar and a half or something. You'll never make your money back. It's, I don't know. I'm not charging nothing. I'm just reading the signs in front of me going, we got to do something else. That's all there is to it. And, you know, the world doesn't go back to the way it was. It never does. I mean, you know, it changes. And the next thing you know, things are just different. And I'm grateful for Google, because I have to Google my own lyrics and look for somebody asked me who played the keyboard part on such and such. And I had to go look it up. I'm going, I don't remember. I was 20 years ago.
yeah.
He sounded really good, though. You know, so I looked him up. I'm going, well, look at there. I thought I heard his voice before. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that. It's just, it's hard to feel like, you know, something you've done all your life and that you're familiar with could come to an end. But I, you know, at the end of the day, it's all water under the bridge. You know, my old manager, I was talking to him the other day, and his house caught fire in Nashville, and it burned, most of it burned down. And he sent me, you know, like this one notebook that made it through the fire. And I mean, it was bad. It killed his dogs and, you know, it was bad. But he said, it burned up all my books and all the awards that we had and, you know, all those things. And, you know, I said, wow, doesn't that sound like a sermon that, you know, at the end of your life, you know, all your works will be tested by fire and most of them will be burned up. And I'm going,
yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the day, our awards are for us, but you know, nobody's going to read your scenario at the pearly gates. They're going, oh wow, look at all the awards he won. No, it just doesn't. At the end, it won't matter. You know, the quality of something is great, and the pursuit of something that matters beyond girls and cars. You know, is why I've always done this. And, you know, end of the day, I can have a fire tomorrow and all this stuff would be gone. And, you know, this is just a scrap load. I started giving it away because I'm going, you know what? I cleaned my dad's house out and he had every sermon saved. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to not be able to keep more than, you know, a stack this high. And, you know, the rest of it went in the trash. I mean, there was nothing to do. You know, we passed around a few things and the rest of it's gone. And, you know, it's time, at least at my age, to realize what's going to be valuable in the long run. And it will be the memories that you leave with your family and your friends and your children. And they're not going to want a whole bunch of mementos because that's just another storage facility.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I agree with everything you just said. However, I would add, you know, when you're ready to get rid of that guitar, I'll give you my address.
Okay. Yeah, it's got some sentimental value to it, and I probably will hand it down to my youngest son plays guitar too, and I'll probably hand it down to him. So I'm really sorry about that. No. You know.
To talk to you a little bit. I know we talked last time you were on back in BC. We talked about your style, and I'm curious because I've followed Christian music all of my life, and I don't know that I call myself an expert, but I would at least say I'm pretty well in tune with different styles and different bands. And you, I've always noticed when I listened to you, even growing up, I knew you had a unique style. And I remember in our first time we talked to you, you mentioned the phrase blue-eyed soul.
Yes. Yeah.
Since then, I've actually looked that up because that was something, I don't know why, but it was something new to me, that phrase.
Oh, really?
So I'd like to know from you, from your perspective, how do you define that style?
Well, I mean, I would, you know, I don't know what to call it. It's still soul R&B. It's just sung by a white guy, which nobody is counting on or don't expect it. Mm. And I grew up on James Brown and Marvin Gaye and Al Green and. And that's just what I listen to. So I don't think I was thinking, wow, I'm going to take this genre. You know, it's like you see a lot of people that are smarter about their music career. They pick a style and they aim at a particular audience. And the biggest maybe mistake I made is I didn't aim at an audience. I wasn't aiming an audience to relate to them or to say what they wanted to hear. I was writing songs about what I found to be true, and I thought that would do really well. But, you know, there's a backlash to that stuff. You know, if you talk to God, then, you know, you're probably schizophrenic and, you know, you're kind of discounted.
I was listening today because obviously I did know who our guest was going to be, Wildman. And so I was listening earlier today to the first Sweet Comfort album. And if I'm remembering, was that 77,
79? Yeah,
1977. 77. And I got to tell you, I was listening to that and I was thinking about the movie, the Jesus music, that we've talked about a number of times on the show. I had one of the producers on as guest, and I got to tell you, it was one of those things where I'm going to really get really honest. I was really getting pretty angry this afternoon.
Oh, really? Listening.
I was getting angry, and I'll tell you why. I was listening to that music, and I was getting so angry because it is so different from what I hear today. And I don't just mean, obviously, there's a very 70s feel to it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that, and just the thing that the guys were talking about in the movie, the Jesus music, here were people who were coming to Christ, and we're taking simply the styles of music that they loved And we're then using those styles to sing about Jesus. You talk about James Brown. You talk about, you know, the soul and R&B and all that. And I'm going, that is so great. And I'm going, where is that today? That's so on the one hand, I'm almost wanting to weep because I just enjoy the music so much. And I just totally groove and dig on the 70s stuff. I mean, and I was in a 70s vibe today as I was listening to that. And so I just love it. Flip side is I was getting just burned up, angry. I just don't understand where so much of the music is, at least the big time, if you will, the stuff that you hear on maybe the big corporate radio stations and so forth. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of good Christian music, honest Christian music out there. And it's smaller venues. It's smaller a reach. A lot of the artists that we interview are, so there is a lot of good stuff out there. But in terms of the big reach stuff, man, I'm sorry, it's flat. It isn't what it was. And I just,
you know, what's really interesting though is it's not just in Christian music that things have changed. It's, I didn't watch the Grammy Awards because, you know, I don't recognize any of the names on there most of the time. But one of my favorite artists is Bonnie Raitt, and she won Song of the Year, and I never heard it. I never heard about it. I never heard it. And I'm going, wow, that's the Song of the Year. I remember when Song of the Year, everybody in the United States knew what song that was because it was played everywhere. But now there's so many venues and people are getting 30,000 messages a day each, you know, from different sources that, you know, let's not kid ourselves. We're not hitting the entire, nobody's hitting the entire community like we used to back in those days.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned Bonnie Raitt. I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but it's like the day after the Grammys, people were laughing. And I don't know if it was The Guardian or The Mirror or one of the British newspapers that's talked about how this unknown blues singer won Song of the Year. And everybody was on social media. It's like, what are you talking about? Unknown? This is Bonnie Raitt. What? How can you use that language? And they, whoever wrote the article, I think legitimately did not know who that was.
No, that makes sense to me. You know, I've got people on my Twitter page. I was talking to a lady the other day, and I have a private page called Lunatic Friend 2, where I'm just the lunatic friend. And, you know, because I got tired of being me. I just wanted to be able to talk freely. And I was talking to this lady, and she was in Texas, and she was a Christian, and she's grown up in Baptist church all her life. And she asked me who I really was, and so I just gave her my name, and she didn't flinch, didn't know who I was. And I said, well, you can find my stuff on YouTube. And I don't think she ever even looked it up. It was like, okay, well, you know what, I'm getting really comfortable becoming obscure. Because, you know, I mean, even the biggest names that you can think of, think of all the great artists that have passed away in, you know, in just the recent months. Mm. And, you know, 3 months later, you know, you don't think about them at all. You don't think about their awards. You don't go back and, you know, very seldom does anybody go back and read your achievements. You know, those kind of things are like, well, we better get connected with the creator of the universe, and because he's the only thing that's gonna come home with you, you know, when you go out, it's like it's you and him, you know.
Join us next week, right here, for the continuation of the interview with Brian Duncan with the Wild Man and Steve on the Wild Man and Steve Show.
Hey everybody, Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to classic Christian rock Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey everybody, Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to classic Christian rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wild Man here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? the amazing artists we've interviewed, over 140 podcast episodes, 20,000 downloads. Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow.
We can clap so high, never wanna die.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
That sounds like rock and roll to me.
I hope you don't mind. I just wanted to interrupt for a second to tell you that there's another podcast I think you might enjoy. Old Smith has a podcast where each week he talks about one of the truths that he has found over the last 25 years of ministry, cowboying, and driving a truck. His podcast is called A Little Bit Out West, and you can find it on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. The easiest way to find it is at the website, jallensmith.com. JeyAlanSmith.com. Click on the link that says podcast.